Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin', everybody? Wild Man Seabass Mikey G over here. You are listening to the greatest podcast in all of wrestling history. My guys over here at Suplex City Limits making a splash in the industry. Ooh, yeah.
Welcome and thank you for downloading episode 80 of Suplex City Limits for October 16th, 2016. As always, it's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Fishes, joined as always by the dude to my Walter.
Dude, are you fucking this up, dude? Are you fucking this up? It's Randall Commando here.
And today we're joined once again by comedian, pro wrestler, and Zuba's aficionado, fresh off his Monday Night Raw appearance, Mr. Mikey G. How goes it, sir?
It goes great, coming to you from gloomy paradise on the beaches of Santa Cruz, California. And boy, has it been a whirlwind since I was here, I guess. What is it, every four now? I don't know. Is it like the election year or like the Olympics? Every four, you're going to get some Mikey G in your life. But yeah, man, thank you guys for having me back. Life's been crazy since the last time I talked to you guys.
I know, right? We've got a lot of shit to cover. I guess first, before I forget, you were going to find out if Lanny Poffo can still suck his own dick.
I'm so glad you brought that up first, because I was just about to break. I'm so glad we didn't talk about that before we got on here, because holy shit, he came up to me right away and just started going off, man. He just started talking. It was awesome. And, you know, he's like, you know, thank you so much. That was such an incredible night for me and all this stuff, right? And then he's like, hey, let me make sure I still have your number. And then I was like, all right, you know, I started giving my number. I'm like, 314, you know, and he's like, oh, here it is right here. I was like, oh, sweet. And I swear to God, the next two mornings, so a Sunday and a Monday morning, I woke up to text messages from Lanny Poffo just saying like, ooh, yeah, brother, or something else crazy. And hilarious, right? Lanny Poffo.
Awesome.
He can still suck his own dick 100%. He was talking about it. We were talking about the night. You know, what's really funny is because we were basically reminiscing while Jimmy Hart was sitting there talking to us. You know,
yeah, baby.
Listening to us.
Yeah, baby.
Talk about that night. Yeah. Oh, what a night. What a night.
I fucking love Jimmy Hart, man. He is like one of my favorite people. When you saw him on that, I don't know if you watched the Legends House on WWE Network.
Oh, of course.
He's on there. God damn, he's great, man. Like, just everything about the dude. Like, they just get so annoyed with him by the end of it. And he won't eat any food. He just eats, like, fucking cans of beans and mashed potatoes. That's, like, all he'll ever eat.
I think awesome. One of my favorite characters on there was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
He
was kind of like your big, dumb roommate from college, you know. He was like, I like this guy.
Yeah. Coming into it, I didn't really feel either way about Hacksaw. I was like, whatever. But like, I fucking fell in love with the guy on that show.
Yeah, he was good. I loved him.
And now we have a commercial from Hacksaw Jim Duggan for the show. So it can't be
that
buddy
now.
Oh shit!
His term. He said we're his buddies. So I guess we're his buddies. He's a fucking kick-ass guy. So, dude, Monday Night Raw, man. I had no idea. I don't think anyone... I suppose you're not able to say anything ahead of time. I'm watching Raw. I'm pretty fucking bored. I'm stoned. And out of nowhere, I see this motherfucker on my screen, and it was the biggest pop I've had watching Raw easily since the 90s.
Man, that if you are even half serious there, that means a whole lot. Like, holy shit, right? Man,
I am serious. I was like, I had a verbal fucking, I don't know.
I can attest to it. He sent me a text message right away. Like, right away. Did you fucking
Mikey G's on Raw hitting Zubas?
Oh, man. So here's all I knew a month ahead of time was that I was going to be an extra, which means, you know, like every time they come around town, they, you know, for television, they grab local indie wrestlers to use either, you know, mostly in the history of using extras, they use them for like security guards or like a plant in the audience, or, you know, hardly ever matches and like hardly ever matches on Raw. But recently they've been doing some squash matches, some, you know, matches like that where Braun Strowman will fight a guy, or Bo Dallas has been doing it on the girls' side. Nia Jax's been doing it, and Bailey's been doing it recently, which, you know, that is what it is. But, you know, so, like, going into it, I had the slightest hope that, hey, maybe, you know, I would get picked to wrestle somebody. And, you know, and I mean, never in a million years did I think that A, they would actually get back to me to be an extra. Then that happened. And then, you know, B, that they, you know, that I would get picked to do anything at all, let alone what happened, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, because I know they did, you know, usually you're right. Yeah, it's like security or that kind of shit. So lately, a lot of people, we saw Mikey O'Shea was on Raw recently. I mean, if you're in the know, you know who most of the people are right away.
You know, so like when all that was happening, you know, like I made a couple Facebook posts, you know, to kind of let people, you know, like I feel like I work hard for the shit that I do, you know, like when I'm producing comedy shows or, you know, booking shows here or there or whatever. And, you know, so like I don't maybe it's bragging, you know, or whatever, but like, I like to be like, hey, you know, like, I like to try to inspire people to not give up on themselves, to believe in themselves and stuff like that. So I did make a Facebook post like, hey, I'm going to be working for WWE coming up here. But, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen. And it wasn't until we got there that day that we pretty much found out what was going to go down. And I don't know how it worked out, but, like, it worked out.
Yeah, dude. Like, I had no idea coming in. You said you did do the Facebook post, or you didn't?
No, I did. Oh, I made one Facebook post. Yeah, I didn't see it. Hey, so. I have a comedy tour coming up, you know, and then after this comedy tour, I'm going to be working for WWE for 3 days, you know, as an extra. Who knows what's going to come of it. So, you know, we got to the building Monday. You know, Sunday there was nothing going down. That, you know, there was a pay-per-view. So, but they have you there anyway. Monday, I show up to the building a little bit early. You know,
professional as you are,
right? You know, Arn Anderson comes up and he's like, "Hey, kid, go get in your gear." So all of us, you know, right away, I'm like, "Oh shit, this is crazy, right?" Like, Arn Anderson's talking to me, you know?
Yeah. All right.
So, Arn Anderson, you know, I go get my gear on, and we come back, and then Arn's like, "Hey, you two, you're going to be working on some stuff with Braun. You two, you're going to be working with the Shining Stars." So, there were 6 guys, 3 girls.
You lucked out there.
And, so they said, you know, us two. So, when they said you two working with Braun on some stuff, I just thought, like, we were going to be working, you know, like on, you know, I thought that, like, they were gonna see if we can, like, you know, tie up and work, you know, walk around the ring and shit. I'm not really putting two and two together yet until the writer comes over with the script and he's like, "Hey, here are your lines. Which one of you is gonna be Steven? Which one's gonna be Clay?" So I was like, I'm like, oh shit. And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, are they putting us on Raw? You know? And yeah, man. So fuck. It just went from there.
The Shining Stars thing must have been a dark match, because I don't remember that from Raw.
It was on Superstars.
Oh, Superstars.
Yeah. Superstars. Okay. Okay. And I mean, you know, to be totally honest with you, you know, the two of us, we were the shortest one out of the six, you know, like, and what Arn Anderson said, he said to us, he goes, the reason you were picked, guys, is because of your look and your perceived athletic ability.
The look is like really cool. Cause like they've been doing that, you know, picking these people with interesting looks for the most part. I mean, and like, look what's happened with James Ellsworth, man. What a crazy, like, Cinderella story that whole thing is.
BFF.
He pinned AJ Styles this week on SmackDown. It's like, you know, to go from where he was to just, like, you're on fucking SmackDown, like, on the regular. That's, like, he's such a nice guy, and I'm just, like, so happy for him. Like, on a show that is fucking asshole and we say all kinds of ridiculous mean shit, sincerely, James Ellsworth, man. Awesome guy.
He is, too, you know, I got to the building on Tuesday at SmackDown, and, you know, like, it's a very small backstage area there at the Shark Tank in San Jose, and the dressing room for the extras was, like, this, like, bathroom in the catering room, you know, like, it was the catering room bathroom, you know, with, like, one stall and one urinal, and, like, eight guys in their fucking gear and stuff. You know, it was crazy.
Mark Henry comes in halfway to take a shit.
But he was in there. Yeah, well, no. Thank God. Thank God.
If I was a vet, I would go to the fucking, where they have all the extras and just, like, go just bust off a nasty shit in there.
Straight up. But, you know, it was neat to kind of see that even though he did beat AJ Styles that night, he was hanging out in the extras dressing room with all of us, you know, having conversation that, hey, I'm pushing for Job Squad 2.0, you know. My idols in wrestling are Barry Horowitz, Colin Delaney, the Brooklyn Brawler. You know what I'm talking about here? Like, make me and James Ellsworth the Job Squad 2.0. We'll take it. Pin me, pay me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's awesome. I don't know. I had so much fun on Raw.
Yeah, and
what really surprised me too is the guy that. So they were like, "Which one of you guys wants to do more of the talking?" And I thought that was what I was gonna have to fight him about, you know? Because
shit. Yeah, you know, right. Like, you want talking? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He was like, "No, that's you," and I was like, "Oh, sweet." You know, like that was no fight at all.
that's got to be quite the experience, man. Like walking out, like knowing you're on live TV. You know, whatever, 3 million people watching, plus just the size of the building. And I mean, that's got to be fucking crazy. I'd be shitting my pants.
Well, here's like, I don't know if like I had just been desensitized to the whole thing, but like it was nothing like I imagined it would be. You know, like when I came out, like, yeah, I was there to a pretty much, you know, pretty full arena, Oracle Arena in Oakland, you know, but. You know, like, it was overwhelming for a second, and then I was like, oh, it's cool. And then I got in the ring, and they turned on the camera, and I'm like, oh, there's, like, a few million people behind that. It's all good, though. Like,
one of them is Jim Vicious sitting on his couch screaming at the TV.
Yeah, one was my mom and dad crying. Listen to this shit. Okay. Hilarious. They're like, our boy made it. And I'm like, I didn't make anything. I just made squash meat on the ground. But yeah, you know, like, holy shit, the coolest thing after all that happened was Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon coming up to me, and, you know, like, I felt like they were seeking me out to come shake my hand and say thank you for the job that I did, and told me both that they really enjoyed what I did. So, you know, like, there's nothing cooler in life.
What about the, in the advertising coming up to this, I used the picture of you just, like, eating this clothesline of doom. And, like, in the picture, it looks fucking so vicious. And that guy is a gigantic human being.
Oh, let me tell you, if anything looked vicious, Jim Vicious, it was vicious, okay?
Yeah.
There ain't no taking it light with the 385-pound mountain of a dude named Braun Strowman. now.
Well, yeah, with a guy that size, you know, coming in that situation, it's kind of like, it kind of goes without saying, like, it's going to be a stiff situation, you know?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a nice guy, you know, because he's a nice guy. However, he's 385 pounds, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I was trying to take every advantage of making facial expressions or, you know, doing something while, you know, I had the Macho Man tribute bandana. I had the Hulk Hogan tribute, wide eyes and breathing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to. So, like, you know, I knew when that squash in the corner was coming up, I wanted to, like, make a face to the hard camera, you know, to the camera taping, like, the match from a wide angle. But when that 385 pound dude's running at me with a 5 pound dude on his back, you know,
yeah,
at 1,000 miles an hour, I didn't forget. I forgot about everything. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna die.
It was the proper escalation too. Like for him, I was hoping. I was like, when they said like, oh, they're gonna give him more next week, I was like, hopefully a 2-on-1. I love a good, like, you know, giant squash, you know, on 2-on-1 style.
So. Yeah, so did I. It was great. You know, dude, it was such a cool experience, you know, being able to hang out with some of the other local hot indie talent around here. You know, it was real cool to experience that. You know, it was something I'll never forget. And, you know, I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, man, definitely. And you took advantage of the situation. It's like you get that little chance, and it's like you got to do everything you can, you know. And I thought you definitely did it, man. Who was the other guy? What's his name on the indies? I don't have it in front of me.
The Flying Lion, Marcus Lewis.
There you go. Yeah, I saw yesterday a friend of the show, Hot Tub Guy, was at a show he was on.
Oh, he was, yeah,
posted some pictures with him. Yeah, dude. Yeah, Hot Tub Guy. He's been on the show before. I fucking love that guy. He's great.
So what does he do? Just interviews people in the hot tub? I just know him as the hot tub guy.
Yeah, he has a YouTube channel where he sits in a hot tub and interviews fucking wrestlers and shit. It's great, man.
Oh, that's awesome. A hot tub party.
Yeah, it's great, too, because, like, he's a fat guy, you know? And he's just, like, doesn't care. He's shirtless sitting in the hot tub. It's awesome, man.
Dude,
man, he's
I want to, like, be friends with this guy.
Yeah, man. On Twitter, at Deshaun's 2 cents, I think, or something of that nature. He's a good guy, but yeah, he's at, like, every indie show. Like, if you go to any indie show in California, like, you know that guy, because he's always there.
Oh, except my, you know, like, we're off the grid down here in Santa Cruz, you know, like, we are totally in our own little world out here. Nobody comes down to Santa Cruz except Santa Cruz people. But I'm pretty sure I have seen that guy before. I want to be best friends with him.
He's good shit, man. He smokes, too. He doesn't hide that fact.
We're already best friends. All right.
He was on our show talking about smoking pot with Teddy Hart. So.
Oh, dude, that's an experience. Like, I have a quick Teddy Hart story, so, you know.
Everyone has a quick Teddy Hart story.
just a quick one. You know, so, like, I have some ones that definitely shouldn't be on the air. I have guys off the air, but, you know, like, it was me, Delirious, Daisy Hayes, Matt Seidel, all four of us sharing a hotel room. This is way back in the day, probably still IWA Mid-South days. And, all of a sudden, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and we get a knock on our hotel door, and we're like, who the fuck is this? So I go to the door, and I'm like, who is this? And he's like, it's the devil. And I'm like trying to look through the peephole, and you know, he's kind of covered up. He's like, this is Satan. And I was like, all right, I'm going to open the door because I don't see what Satan's up to. It's Teddy Hart with like a bag full of joints. So, you know.
And cats? Did he have any cats with him?
No cats with him at that point.
No. But he usually has cats and women with him. Oh, he did?
He had two girls with him, of course. It's Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart shows up with a bunch of pussy, one way or the other.
Pot and pussy. grass and ass, bro. He's got it down.
That's good shit. You mentioned Matt Seidel, and yeah, we wanted to take some time to talk about that situation, then. That's a bummer fucking deal.
Yeah, so what do you guys know about it?
As far as I'm aware, from what I've read, he was arrested in Japan with a vape pen and like 2 ounces of cannabis oil for this thing. So I don't know what 2 ounces of, you know, fluid looks like necessarily, but I guess he's in jail currently, and Japan is crazy about, like, they're super anti-weed over there. And I guess he faces, like, up to 5 years, which is scary as fuck, man.
It's incredibly scary. I don't know too much about the Japanese laws and whatnot. Here's what I do know. I do know that Matt Seidel is a longtime friend of mine. We used to backyard wrestle together, you know. And this guy, he's a family guy. You know, he doesn't have kids of his own or anything like that. But this is a guy, you know, who uses and has used, and I don't know how current his use is, and obviously somewhat, but his use of cannabis is for medicinal purposes. You know, when he had that car accident in February or March of 2012, you know, he still got a big knot on his ankle from that. You know, so I know he's in constant pain from that stuff. So the cannabis use, what he's been using it for, you know, has been medicinal. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know if he knew he was bringing that over there. I don't know how any human being could, and, you know, like, knowing what the penalties are over there, take cannabis oil and, you know, try to fight the government over there. So I'm pretty sure he didn't do that. So with that being said, we're looking at somebody that's being thrown in jail for using something that over here in the United States he can use for medicinal purposes. And, you know, Japan's over there being a little bit of a hard ass. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get awareness up. And I think we can start by doing a hashtag Free Seidel to kind of get people aware of what's going on over here. You know, maybe some people that see what's going on here and recognize that maybe this was a slight error. Hey, you know, that's fine. Get, you know, kick them out of the country for up to 5 years or whatever the case is. But, you know, to keep a guy locked up for a small amount of medicine that has been used to keep somebody healthy and out of pain and able to do their job, I think is unjust. So, you know, bringing attention to this any way that we can would be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I know I've heard that, the state of his foot and ankle is like, people are saying, like, it's amazing that he's like walking around, much less working.
That's the absolute truth. You know, I get to hang out with him, you know, probably 5-6 times a year. You know, we went to UFC 203 for CM Punk's fight. Beat him, TJ, Natty's husband, Tyson Kidd.
Okay.
Me, him, and our buddy, the Peach Machine, when we went to go see UFC. You know, so I get to see him, but he's limping around all the time, you know.
Right.
It's not something that doesn't affect his daily life. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me if he is a regular user of cannabis. It also wouldn't surprise me that he didn't even know what he had in his bag at the time. So, you know.
Yeah.
And people need to know what's going on because, you know, look at what's going on over here in the United States. You know, we're talking about, people are legitimately talking about legalizing cannabis on a federal level for recreational use. You know,
yeah.
I think it's getting a more and more real possibility every day. We just have the 26th state for medical use of marijuana, of cannabis. So, you know, the thinking over here and the thinking over there is vastly different. So, you know, like, take a slap on the wrist, pay a fine, whatever, but we need to get our boy home, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping that New Japan is gonna, you know, can get involved, pull some strings for him. I mean, you know, I don't know how they work, you know, in America, you know, if you have any kind of celebrity, you don't really get in any kind of trouble. I don't know what Japan is like, but I mean, the dude is, you know, New Japan should be trying to get him out of that. You know, they can ban him if they want, whatever, but yeah, like, it's such a thing.
Right. You know, I know he's been in jail over there for about a month now, almost a month, you know.
Really? And I thought this was just this week this happened.
Oh, no. This happened at the very end of September.
It's just now hit, like, the news and shit.
Oh, yeah, it's just now getting out. There was some weird Twitter things going on with him a couple weeks ago, and that was all related to all of this. So, you know, oh, and here's another thing, too, that's kind of fucked up over there. They are not allowed to speak English in a Japanese jail.
Oh, great.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
like, no English can be spoken in a Japanese jail. So, you know, we're talking about an American who's brought joy to not only Americans, but people all around the world, and especially the Japanese.
Yeah.
To, you know, to keep him locked up for something like this, I think is, you know, I think it's something that needs to be looked at.
And I could only imagine what Japanese jail is like. Everything is tiny over there. You imagine what a fucking jail cell's like? It's probably just a fucking cubbyhole, man. It's probably just a scary situation, man. I wouldn't want to be in any jail, much less in like a foreign country jail. That's
well, no one speaks your language. Abroad. Yeah, dude, fuck that. I've spent a couple overnights in jail here for various things, you know, over the years or whatever. But, you know, mostly when I was younger and dumber, a night here, a night there. And, dude, being in jail sucks. I can only imagine what he's doing over there.
All right. So, yeah, the hashtag, we kind of started getting it going earlier this week. Free Seidel. Everybody fucking retweet that shit. Get it going. And, yeah, it'd be awesome if we could, you know, among all of the shows and everybody just kind of get that going and try to get this guy home because this shit's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know,
somebody up for some weed is bullshit.
Especially the amount that we're talking and looking at the situation. This isn't a guy that was bringing over pounds of marijuana to try to sell to people. I don't even think he brought it over there knowingly. So, you know, whether it was knowingly or not, this is minuscule amount. This is two joints worth, you know, to put it into layman's terms.
Sure.
For people that don't know weed very much, you know, this is like two joints we're talking about. And a guy's been locked up now for almost a month, and you know we're hearing at least another month, you know, before sentencing. So you know who knows.
I've smoked half that much already during the show today. So
yeah, totally. You know who hasn't?
I think we're good to go on that. So yeah, man, Free Seidel. And all your shit on Twitter. What is your Twitter again, exactly?
Oh, my. Now that I'm done doing the extra stuff, I took my profile off of private.
Yeah.
And at Mikey G Beach Bum and at Comedy Suplex.
There you go, man. And yeah, comedy shows, indie shows, floating all over the place, man. People can definitely find you and hang out with you and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep your TVs on. You never know where I'll pop up.
Dude, I hope so, man. I want more of that shit. The Zubas, man. What was the Zubas decision? Is that usual for you or?
It's more surfer pants. Like
they look like Zubas to me.
those were Zubas.
Okay.
But I usually wear. It's a brand called No Limits. I get them from this thrift store. But they're brand new from the 80s and stuff. I live in Santa Cruz. So there's a lot of these surfer pants, these No Limit brand surfer pants. And I got quite a collection of them.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, definitely fucking love seeing you on Raw. And thanks for swinging back by and hanging out with us, man.
Suplex City Limits, baby.
Okay, Mikey G, man. Love that guy. That's awesome. So cool he came. It's cool he came back. He didn't big time us.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
I fucking love him. Let's get into the show. Let's get into some news. Also, I guess before we get into the news, I forgot to say, you can follow us on Twitter, at Suplex City Limit. Keep up to date on the upcoming guests for the show, all kinds of shit. We live tweet wrestling shows on there. I get on there at like 4 in the morning, baked out of my mind, and just like talk about all kinds of shit. So it's a good time. It's worth checking out. If you like the show and like to pick up a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/suplexcitylimits. We have 4 designs available for your wearing pleasures. And patreon.com/suplexcitylimits. You can donate as little as a dollar a month. Give us a dollar, baby. Buy some tacos. So let's get into the week in wrestling. There's a bunch of TNA stuff going on right now.
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it?
You take more joy in their demise than I do. Well, I don't want to see it go, but
I don't want to see it go either, because then that means everything's broken. Not in the good way.
Right. So, but watching it is like fucking watching a car accident. Yeah. Like, I'm going to slow down and look, you know, and probably say that person was a shitty driver. Dude, there's all kinds of stuff. So Billy Corgan is now suing them.
Yep.
He's had it sealed. So I don't know. They haven't really been talking about what it is. Sounds like she lied about some shit.
Yeah, lied about financials. Is it Tennessee that's after him or Kentucky for
No, the
taxes?
State of Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, the state of Tennessee wants their money, and evidently they are owed a bunch of money. So I think that's where this lawsuit comes in, is he bought into this company, and she probably kept that stuff from him. But, dude, the state definitely has the ability to put a lien on a company, man. Like, yep. It could be bad fucking news for TNA. Also, there's this thing now where on a couple of the entrances we're missing their music. Evidently, the guy who makes their music probably not being paid. That's probably why the songs are not on there.
Hmm.
So they didn't put any other music either. They just used crowd noise, I guess. I didn't watch the episode, so.
Who did?
But, guess who's in charge of the music over there? Serge Salinas, Dixie Carter's husband, oversees TNA's musical rights. And a bang-up job you're doing, sir. They didn't even have, like, backup songs they could use. I'm surprised they didn't just go get, like, royalty-free songs off of YouTube or something.
Right.
But yeah, they just put, like, crowd noise in. So these guys walk out to just, like, crowd noise. Pretty fucking awful. It's like a Roman Reigns entrance. Pretty much. Ryberg, in the news this week a little bit, he's saying that this Goldberg match should be his match. It should have been me, he says.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He said that would be... Yeah, and people had talked about that before, like him versus... Goldberg... I'm sorry, I'm confused now. It's like Goldberg and Ryberg. Goldberg is not going to come back for a match with Ryberg, dude. Okay?
No.
He's going to come back for a main event fucking match. And, I mean, that's another topic to discuss. That's happening. Like, 99% that's happening. Goldberg and Lesnar... either at Survivor Series or at Rumble. Sounded
Mania?
Like it was. No, I don't think Mania. No, it's been.
You think Goldberg's in wrestling shape to get Survivor Series or Rumble?
Well, I don't know. I think he keeps in shape pretty well. But originally, it was supposed to be for Survivor Series. That's the backstage talk, and then now there's talk of moving it to Rumble because. Rumble's in the Alamo Dome, which is like a 60 or 70,000 person fucking place, I guess.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, it would make sense to move it to Rumble, I would say, because you got that big-ass building to fill.
Yep.
Seems like a good idea there. Plus, Survivor Series is already packed. We'll talk about some of the shit they set up on SmackDown and Raw this week for Survivor Series, but it's a pretty packed show already, so... I would move it to Rumble, but we'll see what they do. But it's definitely happening, dude. We're definitely getting a 50-year-old Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. And, I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think that's going to be?
Oh, it's going to be a shit show. Somebody's going to end up hurt again.
It's going to be a shit show. And Goldberg's going to end up hurt. But these guys, that's the thing. It's like these younger fans, I think, they weren't there. Last time this happened, and I'm surprised WWE is even addressing last time, you know, because they are slightly talking about, well, last time they wrestled, you know, and why, you know, I feel like Lesnar cares even less now. Goldberg's 12 years older. I just don't see it being good. The first time it wasn't good.
Right.
You know, the build it'll be whatever. Seeing Goldberg come out and shit, you know, I mean, whatever, but I don't like any Lesnar match. This whole run that he's had. I mean, like, him destroying John Cena was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But for the most part, his matches are just terrible. And Ambrose said on the Stone Cold podcast, like, which he got some heat for, he's like, that match sucked because Lesnar didn't want to do anything. He's like, anything I pitched, he didn't want to do anything. You know, so he doesn't give a fuck, man. And I don't know. I just don't see it, man. Lesnar and Goldberg, again.
Not excited for it. No.
It's one of the worst big main events they've had. I mean, roundly accepted as one of the worst. And they're going to do it again.
That's probably why they're trying to do it again for some redemption.
Yeah, but dude, 50 years old, and Lesnar, again, like I said, doesn't care. He could give no fuck about this, man. He shows up, he does bare essentials, and he goes home. So, he does. His matches are awful. I'm going to go out and suplex a guy 20 times and walk around and sweat way too fucking much.
Yep, turn into a lobster.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Brock Lobster!
Brock Lobster!
Brock Lobster! Somebody do a fucking spoof of B-52's Rock Lobster. Brock Lobster!
Brock Lobster! Lobster!
Oh, jeez.
Okay, we spent way too much time on that. Let's go.
Hold on, one more. Brock Lobster! Okay. There's been people talking about, I'll stick with TNA here for a moment, that they have they're going to do big season finale end of the year and then try to figure out what's going on. But there's talk of it being possibly all at the Hardy Ranch. I guess they've been filming shit out there again.
Awesome.
So I have no idea. I know that Hardy's trying to get a big tag team thing with other guys, like the Young Bucks for a one-off and all these other teams to have a multi-tag team fucking deletion thing. So I don't know. That would be amazing. If they got a bunch of, tag teams from different places and had a huge fucking, deletion style match. Oh, dude.
Just an entire company deletion match.
Why not, dude? Why not? I've honestly thought about that, man. Why not just go that direction?
Just
do it all that way.
Yep. An elimination deletion match.
Yeah. Fuck it. I mean, I would debate, do you need, fuck it. Fuck a crowd.
That's a way better idea than a Royal Rumble. You'd have you'd have 30 guys running around this estate.
I'm saying change the direction of the whole company. Where Impact Wrestling, whatever it becomes, the weekly show is just this super overly filmed, no crowd, fucking all
underground, but without the live crowd, basically, is what you're saying.
And way more fucking cheesy and over the top.
Right.
I mean, Lucha Underground's not absurd.
No.
Well, sometimes it is, but you know what I'm saying.
They got guys from outer space and a guy's a dragon, but it's not absurd. But yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
A masked guy with a giant beard rolls in on a motorcycle with a midget luchador and a sidecar. It's not absurd, dude.
This shit's legit.
Last week they were buddy-buddy watching TV eating fucking bagel bites. Maybe I need to reevaluate. Oh my god. It's a fucking fair. It's a fair assessment, man.
Alright.
Paige! Suspended again. Again. This time for 60 days.
For what? Coke or something?
Well,
it was an illegal.
She went on the social media and was trying to say if she had a prescription. And her parents were saying, oh, it's pain pills for her neck. And WWE was contacted by media. And they quickly were like, yeah, no, she was suspended for an illegal substance, not a legal substance. So that takes the pain pill thing out of the fucking equation. This chick is a fucking train wreck, man. She's throwing her career away.
Right out the window.
Oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with this chick? You've seen this in life. You know what I'm saying? You see dudes and women do this kind of shit where they'll get with somebody and it's just destructive and it's not good. And that's what this is, man. This is the situation that's just like, he's getting stabbed and she's fucking this and oh my God, you know, it's just like this whole fucking ordeal. I mean, maybe they'll fucking do a porno. That'd be cool. We can finally see how big that dude's Johnson really is. Or how big his Jose really is, whatever they...
what they call it down there.
I don't know. You're Janssen.
You're Huevos?
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know, dude. Fucking Paige. She's probably done, dude. She's got one strike left, and I mean, I imagine they're just going to like be done with it here at the end of this.
I would suppose so.
I wouldn't bring her back. And I don't know if they're trying to do this to fire her or... Because do you have to... They don't have to fire you like that, right? They can just release you.
Yeah. I don't think so, it's like, guaranteed contracts. There's no union. There's no union to help these guys out. So you don't know what their contracts...
Well, they could have guaranteed contracts. I mean... Yeah, Scott Hull and Kevin Nash brought that into the business. I don't know how these deals, you know, if they can just release him, but if I were them, I would just release her and be done with it.
I'm sure there's a buyout, some sort of buyout.
And that's what sucks, too, is like, I mean, granted, she did wrestle in her parents' indie company, in the UK first, but really, they made her, you know, and then now she's just fucking being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'd release her, fuck her. Fuck her and her nonsense. You don't need her anymore, dude.
Nope.
You got a bunch of fucking new women. Fuck it. You know, and she's already not anything. If Paige came back tomorrow to Raw or SmackDown, would there be a pop? I don't fucking think so. Mm, not really.
Just marks.
It's just like, yeah. Well, I have the perv marks, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well. Whatever, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I never liked that shit because she's stupid. I had a hard time looking past like her just young, stupid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, her ability in the ring, don't get, you know, she's pretty good in the ring, but yeah, she's definitely not making the right choices.
No, not at all. There's been pictures this week coming out kind of Undertaker with crutches.
Yeah, seen these.
Huh?
Are you surprised?
Well, I guess not, but people don't know really if he had a surgery. There's talk maybe he had some knee surgery.
Oh.
But I don't know, man.
Hip surgery, perhaps?
I think he already had that shit.
Wow. Then he went and got fucking thrown around by Brock Lesnar, so... Probably
why
needs another one.
They used this last time as his fucking farewell. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I thought that was for sure going to be the case this last fucking WrestleMania. With like, that was it, you know? And it's like, God, are you going to do another WrestleMania? That's fucking ridiculous, dude. This guy should have retired so long ago. And like, I mean, again, I don't feel like you don't need him, you know? They don't need a lot of these old guys that they still have. Oh. You don't need Kane and Big Show and Mark Henry and just these old guys, just get rid of them. Like,
direct the hype elsewhere to your young guys.
Right. And two, now, of course, on that subject, this is something you and I differ from most people on, you know, but now that the Rumble was announced for San Antonio, everyone, guess what everyone's saying? It was like, oh, fuck, Shawn Michaels should have a match.
Oh, God. No. No.
Stop it. Why we can't? I don't know. Why people want old guys to come back? Why it was like with Austin? It's with HBK. Who else is it with? It's with those two mostly. Where it's like, you know, clinging on to the Undertaker shit. Let them go, dude. Turn on the network available for $9.99, huh? And you can
Margle,
and you can fucking watch all the great Shawn Michaels matches. And all the great Austin shit, there's no need for them to come back when they're old and broken down and shitty. Like, why watch a shitty, like, with Sting? Those matches were terrible. The world would have been better off if we just didn't have it.
Yep. Now he wants one more, too, now.
Fuck him. That first one with Triple H, he should have came in, beat Triple H, one and done, and into the Hall of Fame. You know, I could see the one match, but it's just nonsense. These guys who, and that's only because Sting wasn't there before ever. You know, these other guys, they were there. They've done tons of shit. Mm-hmm. Just let it be. Just let fucking this guy go. I don't want to see him come back and wrestle anybody. So, I don't know. But people get pissed about that when I say that shit on Twitter. He's one of the best ever. Like, I didn't say he wasn't, you know? I'm just saying I don't care to see him wrestle anymore. Same with Goldberg here. 50 years old? Fuck, dude. Just no need for it. But whatever. That is, that was pissing me off this week. And really what's pissed me off this week, I do want to talk about this shit, Hideo Itami, injured again.
Yep.
Injured until he says he'll be back by December. I don't know. Injured by Riddick Moss on a house show. And so it's Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli, who have shit on that guy 100 times on this show, versus fucking Itami and Nakamura. On a house show, probably in front of 300 people.
Right.
Why the fuck are you booking guys like that with green motherfuckers like this, dude? I that's one thing I just hate about this fucking Fed is, like, there's no way that these guys should be in with these guys. Put them in with other green guys if they have to have matches or something. I don't know, but the idea that you're going to risk guys like Itami and Nakamura with just jabrons like this, these ex-football player fuckers, and then my pissed offness flows into the bullshit football player thing again, which it always happens. I fucking hate these football player guys who are failures, and they don't give a shit about wrestling, and it's just, oh, here's an easy job. They may as well be bouncing in a strip club. It's the same fucking thing to them. You know, it just pisses me off. And then when you go and hurt this guy, like, just, he's, I don't know if you saw the footage, he just dumps him right on his fucking head. Just stupid. On a fucking power slam, just like, nope, drive your neck into the ground.
Yeah.
Dumb shit that people who actually know how to wrestle would never fucking do. This isn't even a thing where you can say, well, it was a freak accident, you know? Because sometimes shit happens. Samoa Joe hurt fucking TJ, and, yeah, that sucks. That was a freak fucking accident. This kind of shit is just a guy who fucking sucks. You know, not knowing what to do and dropping someone on their head. So, it just pissed me off. It's like, this guy just came back fucking a year out. You imagine being a year out from, like, wrestling, which is, like, all you fucking live for and love. Because your shoulders hurt. Just to come back and be put in a tag match with two guys who fucking are terrible. And one of them to drop you on your goddamn head.
Ugh. It's like Tony Romo, but it's not his fault. You know?
This sucks, man.
It does suck. It sucks really bad because they're starving for talent down there to begin with.
They should fucking free up 2 more spaces for indie workers who've dedicated their lives to fucking learning wrestling. And fire Tino Sabatelli and Riddick fucking Moss. Fire both these cunts. They did. They were on this week's NXT in the fucking tournament, so this isn't the last time we'll talk about these fuckheads before the end of the show. So there's that. Let's get into some of the shows. I mean, we're already pretty deep in here, going through news and talking to our boy, Mikey G. So let's bust through these shows. I don't want to sit and... I say that every week, but then we end up getting caught up on shit. I mean, Raw this week, Raw and SmackDown, as I proposed to you weekly, which was the better show?
SmackDown.
Yeah, the SmackDown again every time, right?
Easy.
except for the first week.
That was good on Raw this week was Rusev's mutton chops. Fucking awesome. Keep them.
Yeah, pros were Rusev's mutton chops. Of course, Mikey G.
Yeah, Mikey G.
For you, seeing the Raiders in the crowd,
Oakland,
I'm sure.
The Raiders were in the crowd, yeah.
Yeah, not stabbing anybody.
That's fans that live in Baltimore, man. That's people in Baltimore. I can't help that.
So, I mean, the show, you know, we started off with nonsense. You know, Sasha and fucking Charlotte. You know, this is just silly. Charlotte and just emasculating Rusev. They make Rusev look stupid. They fucking dropkick him out of the ring. Out comes Robot Reigns, which sets up like a mixed tag for later. Big fucking deal. You had Kofi and Cesaro. Kofi had an awful fucking springboard botch.
Yeah.
Just he goes for the springboard, just like lands on his fucking ass. But awful. But you know, fun match, I guess. They referred to Cesaro as thick AF in their promo. I was like, holy shit. So that was decent. Kofi took the win on that. The fucking Bayley versus a jobber. Cammy Fields. Wasn't the last one Fields too? Sarah Fields or something?
Maybe.
This is like a thing, I guess. This match was awful. I don't know if it's on the jobber or partly on... I mean, some of the shit looked like it was Bayley. You know, some of the shit I put on the jobber, but some of this was Bayley. I thought this was really bad. It looked like shit. She gets the win. Dana Brooke attacks her on the ramp. We haven't seen that a zillion times. Stop it. Stop with this and some of the other shit in this week. That was a big thing to me this week, is noticing just these things that are just crutches, lazy fucking crutches, man. Just do them a little different or something. It's so stale. Jericho and R-Truth payday commercial. Fucking silly.
That was kind of funny, yeah.
It was decent. As far as those commercials, you know, those like product placements go, this one was pretty good, but that's just because you had Jericho. You had Tony Nese and Drew Gulak with jobber entrances versus Lindsay Dorado and Sin Cara, who's now part of the cruiserweight division. That guy doesn't weigh 205, I'll fucking tell you that much.
Right.
But I think it makes sense for him to be in the cruiserweight division. What else are you gonna do with the guy? He's a fucking luchador who's not cruiserweight. Good luck on that one, man. I'm coughing a bunch over here. Woo! Just smoke less.
I like finally what they're doing with Gallows and Anderson now in the next segment.
Well, dude, they shouldn't have fucking stuck with this the whole time.
Right? I mean, and then beat up these two fucking loudmouths. Enzo and Cass. I'm done with them too.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Agreed with that. They haven't used those guys too, you know?
They could use them a lot better too. Yeah, I agree with you. Agree with you there. Maybe we'll get something out of this.
You know, they had these, after this was the Foley in a terrible plaid suit with the hair down. I don't know what was going on with that, but they announced Owens and Rollins will be in the cell. You know, Jericho put Foley on the list, which was awesome. He threatened to put Stephanie on the list. Later in the show, it was great. He's like, I actually did. I put you on the list, but I took you off. Looking awesome. They set up the main event tonight. You know, Jericho. If Jericho can beat Rollins, he gets inserted into the Hell in a Cell match. And I'm just like, please don't do this. And I'm still not convinced they won't. We still have a week to go here.
Right.
Jericho could end up in that match. I'm just done with three ways. Like, how about no more three ways until 2017 at least? That would be a nice thing to live by. Because like, I want to see that at Survivor Series. You know, like that's me, Jericho and Owens in Canada at Survivor Series. That's where that needs to happen.
You're exactly right.
But the shit you were saying about Gallows and Anderson is one of just a many things on this show where they do something and we say, that was stupid, you should have did this. And eventually they'll do it. Rollins coming back heel just to go back face. What did we say? Gallows and Anderson doing silly comedy shit. Same thing.
Yep.
It's a million things. That's like all it is like us saying, should have did this, shouldn't have done that. And it all comes, eventually they do. Eventually they go, they try it, they find out it's fucking stupid. And they end up doing what fucking logic says to do. But no less. Bo and your boy, Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel, yep.
Teaming up against Enzo and Cass. They can't seem to come up with anything Friend Zone has to do, man. During their spiel, Gallows and Anderson come out, fuck him up, which is basically all Gallows and Anderson have been doing, is just kicking everyone's ass, which, as we said, is how it always should have been.
Yep.
Out comes Sami Zayn and Neville. They're probably going to be known as Team Criminally Underutilized. they pick up a win over Bo and Axel.
Woo! That was a sweater there.
Just awful.
Nail biter.
It was like the first time you've seen Neville, and Neville's been on like Superstars the last month. What? Why, dude? I feel like maybe they're holding him to later insert him into the Cruiserweight thing, which I'm sure they will, right? I mean, I'm sure he'll end up in that Cruiserweight thing eventually.
Sure,
just want to work on these new guys a little bit, but this usage of him and Zayn is pathetic, man. This is what you have these guys doing, tagging up and taking on fucking jobbers. That's very unfortunate. R-Truth versus Titus, dude. Really. Truth with a distraction win. Just a waste of the... You got 3 hours, dude. How about introducing another story into the Cruiserweight division? Because there's one. There's the main story, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has anything going on. There's just like a laundry list of things you could use this time for. Instead of that, there's no point to that, dude. Titus shouldn't even be on the fucking show. Neither should R-Truth. They should not be on Raw. You can use them for touring and shit, fine, but there's no point on this fucking show. Kendrick and Perkins had a great backstage segment, I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I enjoyed it. I liked that Perkins, you know, when he, instead of saying, like, hold on a second, he says, pause it. Yep. I was like, hey, nerd stuff. Kendrick stands up, tries to attack him. He lays him out. So I think they're really doing a good job with the Kendrick and Perkins thing. But again, like, why can't Rich Swann have something going on right now? Mm-hmm. Or some of these other guys could have a story too. And it's the same thing with the women. You know, a year ago, 6 months ago, we've talked about where there's one women's thing and that's it.
That's all they can write for, one at a time.
Yeah, it's a whole division, and like you got one story. That's all you can come up with. There should be at least two in the Cruiserweight, if not three. Get some shit going, because right now it's like they're like, oh, and I heard Vince McMahon is kind of like down on the whole Cruiserweight thing. There's no story there. Putting two with two other ones to exchange wins every time. What's the fucking point? What are we doing here?
Yep.
You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Anyway, and then we got to Braun and Mikey G and the handicap match. So that was awesome, as we've talked a lot about that already. Fucking Mikey G. Biggest Raw pop I've had in like 20 years. The last Raw pop I had this big was probably when fucking Austin came out with the fucking Zamboni or something.
There you go.
It's on par with that for me. They had mixed tag match.
Oh god, I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah,
I think I could go to football by then.
Going back to the handicap match thing, I'm surprised they call it a handicap match. I'm surprised they haven't come up with some more like PG fucking term for it. You know. A stilted odds match or something, you know? We're like, oh, we don't want to use the word handicap because,
I don't know, what would you call it?
I don't know.
Name with it right now. How about the evenly disabled match?
I don't know. I'm just surprised they haven't. Because, like, remember when, like, the foreign object became not a word, you know, not a term anymore, because they didn't want to use the word foreign. So that's when they started calling a foreign object a different. I don't know. They called it all kinds of different things. But
really?
Yeah, that's the thing, man.
Oh.
They used to go. You can look that up. Like, it used to be called a foreign object, and then not anymore. Because they didn't like the word foreign. So, Heyman.
Anything foreign.
Well, they didn't like the term, the word, the sound of it.
Anything. Nothing.
Yeah,
doesn't
Donald
even like
Trump.
His burritos foreign. He likes them as steak wraps.
Done with ketchup, yeah.
Yeah, with ketchup, yeah.
Yeah. One time someone put rice on mine. That was never far.
Yeah.
Charlotte. Heyman in ring. Awesome as always. We don't need to tell you that fucking Heyman's awesome on the microphone.
Yeah.
Challenges Goldberg on behalf of Lesnar. Goldberg later takes to Twitter and says he'll be on Raw next Monday in Colorado. So he'll be there to accept. And
oh boy.
Thus begins the build to the match. And will Lesnar be there for the build? Probably not. I don't know. It'll just be Heyman. So whatever.
I think I saw somewhere Lesnar's going to be on Raw this week, too.
Lovely. That Melina promo, again, just, we've said it before, how stupid is this? Why is she being rebranded? Oh, yeah, because she's a better heel than Charlotte is. That's why. Brian Kendrick on commentary. TJ Perkins versus Aria Davari. You know, pretty good match. I thought Kendrick was good on commentary. Perkins wins by submission. And as he's exiting, you had Kendrick standing on the announce table, giving him the slow clap. Good build, man. Yep. I think that's good. Hopefully the match that they have at the next pay-per-view is going to be a fucking the match, because they haven't had it yet. You know, where they were able to pull out all the stops and do some crazy shit. So hopefully they've saved it for that. And you just had the main event, the Jericho and Rollins mid-match. Owens' music hits. He comes out. And Rollins ends up winning by roll-up. And Owens attacks, you know, immediately afterward. End of the show. They have, dude, they set up three. I guess somewhere in here, it was announced that the women are also going to be in the cell. So they have three cell matches at Hell in a Cell, dude. Talk like, about fucking overkill.
Sounds like hepatitis for everyone.
Abby's not going to be in the match, man.
No? Okay.
An Abby fucking hepatitis blood match where they take a bucket of Abby's blood and put it above the ring and the goal is to, like, pull a string and dump it on your opponent.
Yep.
So you can get fucking hep. Yeah, there's a hep on a pole match, bro.
Bro. Oh.
No, I think it's when you say his name, not when you say bro. Yeah, we can say bro.
I think,
we can say brubba.
Alright.
Yeah, so that was Raw. It was pretty boring. Raw's just a slog to get through.
Oh, God.
3 hours is 3 hours is too long. I started it late this week. Last week, I didn't watch it. I watched it, the next day, I think, on DVR, and then this week I started it later and caught up, so then I paused it and took a shower. I can't do it anymore, man. As much as I love, hanging out and tweeting with everybody at Suplex City Limit, I just can't fucking do it. It's your whole Monday night. I get home from work, I eat. I don't want my whole night to be that when I can watch this show in so much less time.
Right.
Skipping commercials and fuck, so... That was Raw, you know. I think it's, you know, Rollins and Owens in a Hell in a Cell. That could be cool. The first ever women in a Hell in a Cell, whatever. That to me, that fucking Roman Reigns one shouldn't be. The only reason it is because fucking Roman Reigns.
Oh, still trying to push him in the mid card.
Dude, it's so gross. But yeah, the fact that Hell in a Cell is a fucking pay-per-view that's scheduled is dumb to me. When a fucking angle needs it and it builds to it, then you just do a hell match. I don't care if it's fucking February. You put one match in, then you do it. The fact that it's a pay-per-view and every time there's going to be one if or three, it just ruins it. And that's the third one, really, I had three cell matches. Unbelievable. Just overkill. The way that they like to overkill things. But, you know, all in all, I guess, you know, good cruiserweight angle going. The women's match should be pretty good. I heard Charlotte. Let's talk that Charlotte wanted to do a moonsault off the top of the cell, and they said no.
Really?
How the fuck are you going to do that? You're gonna land on somebody, like somebody's body from that high. You'd have to be like, they move and you land on a crash pad or something. But evidently they're not letting it happen. So, I mean, how could you? You know, that's.
What if she does it? What if she just decides she's gonna do it?
It would be a crazy fucking spot, even if it is like, you know, if Shane's was obviously on a crash pad.
Yep.
You know, even if it was something like that, dude, I mean, it'd still be fucking hella impressive. See somebody fucking moons. Just the fact that you want to, like, that's pretty fucking crazy. Kind of a crazy son of a bitch. I like where their head's at, though, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't let her do it, but I like that their minds are working. Like, how do we make this the craziest Hell in a Cell, not only for women, but period, you know? So, you know, props for that. SmackDown. He had the Ziggles opens the show. Him and Miz Maurice came down dressed in black for the funeral of the IC belt.
Which was pretty funny. I like that.
Yeah, it was all right. The Spirit Squad come out, and they had a handicap match with Ziggles. And then when it went to commercial, you got to still watch the fucking match, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, on a little part of the screen, you didn't have any audio for it, but fuck, you got to watch the match while the commercial went. That was cool. Ziggles wins, Miz attacks, out come Rhino and Slater to run them off. Do you think next week there'll be a 6-man tag?
Oh, God, please, no.
You know there will be. You fucking know there will be.
Fuck.
Absolutely. Daniel Bryan and Shane backstage propose matches to Raw for Survivor Series. They want to do a 5-on-5 men's, 5-on-5 women, and then a tag team Survivor Series match as well. I don't know if that... Is that going to be 5 teams? 10 on each side,
oh,
dude.
God.
40, man.
Fuck. You're going to have guys standing all the way around the entire fucking ring.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Pretty much. I don't know about the tag one, but the idea that we're going to have some actual Survivor Series matches?
Yeah, cool.
That's cool. You know, at Survivor Series and all. It needs stakes. It needs something.
You remember when every match was a Survivor Series match?
I do. And I also remember when they had the Soul Survivor!
Oh, that's right. Yeah, all the survivors went into the match at the end.
Yep. I don't know about the Soul Survivor idea, but no less. It'll be cool to see. I think it needs some stakes of some kind. Whether that's... Yeah, maybe the winning team gets an NXT draft pick or something. You know, that's the best thing I can kind of come up with.
Winner or, gets I mean, they're... Denny's Go ahead. The next morning.
Denny's? Yeah. I mean, the winning team needs something. The shows need to be contesting something. I don't know what that is, but, you know, I'm not paid to fucking write and think about this shit, so I'm not going to. Got plenty of other shit to do. You're lucky to take out time to do this shit, you motherfuckers. I woke up to an alarm this morning. On Saturday, my fucking day off, I got out of a warm bed with my fucking naked girlfriend to get up and record fucking pay-per-view take 2 this morning. Before doing this, motherfucker, buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com. No, but I woke up this morning and I really thought about it, man. I was just like, God damn it, man. Like, what am I doing? I should be sleeping. I don't know. The new episode of Pay-Per-View Take 2 is available on our channel right now. So put it up right away. So if you're listening to this, it's already there. Halloween Havoc 1991. Pretty fun show, man. We had a good time talking about it. Definitely didn't have a good time watching it. I had to spend 3 hours last night. I put it off to the last second. So last night, I'm sitting there just like, practicing my bong style and watching this fucking show, and it's just like, fuck me.
Is it worth it?
If you, we talk about it on there, there's a couple parts worth watching, but yeah, that's about it. So he had a video of Carmella attacking Nikki before SmackDown. There's no heat on this, dude. Like, nope. I don't give a shit. So sick of seeing it already at this point. Carmella fucking sucks.
Oh, she's the worst.
Speaking of sucks, And speaking of those crutches, I said earlier, Carmella versus Naomi. Out comes Nikki Bella mid-match. Carmella gets distracted. Roll up. Naomi wins. Dude. Ooh. Just stop it. No. God damn it. I'm just so sick of it. Like, how?
Nobody's rubbed their nose in it, so that's why he hasn't stopped doing this shit yet.
It's like you've been doing this for fucking 30 years already. My whole life of watching wrestling, you've been doing this, man. Just stop, like, just stop and think. Take 5 minutes and be like, what else could we do other than this?
There's gotta be something else. Gotta be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then like I said, I'm not gonna sit and think about it. I got other shit to do. You know, I'm not paid to think about these things. But they are. You know? So, I don't know. It is whatever. Gable versus Jimmy Uso. Jimmy wins with Jay pushing down for the dirty pin. I'm sick of this, too. Like, I think last week was Jay and Jordan. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's stupid. Hype Bros backstage. In come the faces of Queer. They stare at each other. As bare bones as this is, it counts as two tag team stories going at once, though. So I guess I have to applaud them. Even though this has been just like the Ascension, just watching those guys wrestle last week. And then this week, standing in front of them, you know, I don't know. The one guy fucking dude looks like he's morphing from like, what the fuck was he? Ed Leslie's character in WCW, man.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's like halfway into transitioning into that fucking character. It's whatever. Yeah, I just thought about the fact, too. We started this, started talking about Raw. We didn't even talk about No Mercy, dude.
Oh, we didn't.
God damn it. Well, at least we're early in SmackDown.
Shit.
These shows are like so often, and it really, like, that's the thing is, like, I'm not it's not like I'm like, oh, I gotta, you know, fucking talk about this, because I really didn't. Overall, I thought the show was, you know,
I didn't take too many notes. I didn't.
No.
Nothing came away from that show that really, you know, blew my mind.
I decided I wasn't going to take notes because I get fucking sick of taking notes sometimes. Like, can I just watch a wrestling event?
Right.
I still live tweeted. So, like, when I watch this shit, I'm usually live tweeting, like, hilarious and funny things and taking fucking notes at the same time. I should be commended. But yeah, let's go back to No Mercy. The kickoff show had an 8-man tag team match. The faces went over. Whatever. They moved the main event to the start of the show, dude.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Everybody had to go watch something else.
Who watched that? Who watches that shit? Why would you put yourself through that? Oh.
All it does is make people angry.
The people who are watching this event were watching this event regardless. And it's not a pay-per-view thing. Even if they don't watch, you still got their money. Mm-hmm. Right? They paid for the subscription. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
I don't get it. The decision-making here was crazy. And I was like, okay, well, if they're doing that, they'll at least put the IC match as the final match.
Nope.
And they fucking didn't.
Nope.
And they're crazy for that, man. I mean, starting off with that, the first, you know, the first match of the card, the triple threat for the world championship. I mean, that was a pretty good match.
It was decent.
I mean, looking through, you know, I mean, it was pretty good. I don't have any real beef with it. Styles retains, you know, with some chair shots. He keeps it dirty. I think that's good. No real beef there.
Did they have to do the double submission spot, though?
Oh, dude, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought that was stupid. Shouldn't even have been in there.
I thought it was dumb, too.
You should ask, when you're doing shit like that, you got to ask yourself, does this add anything to the... What does this add?
Nothing.
You know, think it does. Where is the money? What's the fucking point of this? There's no point. It did nothing for it. I thought it was stupid. Yeah, agreed. Good call. Nikki Bella defeats Carmella. Don't care. Slater and Rhino defeated the Usos. We were all four wrong on this one.
Everybody was wrong on that. Yep.
And not only on this show, just like in general, everybody was wrong on that. And everybody thought the Usos were taking that. So that's kind of a curveball. Baron Corbin defeated Jack Swagger. Who cares?
Yeah, who the fuck gave a shit about that match?
Yeah, nobody.
I think I flipped over to football at that time right there when that match started. Don't give a fuck.
I took a shower during that match.
Did you?
I listened to it while I was taking a shower. Because I put through it on the phone. Well, I was watching it, partly while I was shitting. So I was watching it on my phone while I took a shit, and I listened to it while I took a shower. That's a life hack right there. When you shit, just take a shower.
Yeah.
plan your shits around your showers, dude. That is a fucking... that'll make your life successful. Dolph Ziggler defeats Miz. I have a match of the night.
Absolutely.
Really good match. I was surprised.
It was.
I mean, from the booking of it to the actual match, I thought it was really good. Should have been last, dude.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Why wouldn't you want to end the show with that? The show ends with Ziggler fucking standing tall. I mean, that's a great finish. Baffling, man. Very fucking baffling. Naomi defeats Alexa Bliss in a fucking nothing match. So Becky's out. And you bring in Naomi last minute. She beats Alexa, which that's usually what they do. So now they're just going to start this side thing between Alexa and Naomi until Becky comes back.
Yep.
And it'll probably be a fucking three-way. It will be a fucking three-way. God damn it. And your main event, air finger quotations, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. And that like spot where Randy's looking in the mirror and it like distorts. At first I was like, oh dude, do a fucking... I was hoping they would do the Ultimate Warrior Hogan thing. But Bray appears behind the mirror and only Randy can see him. Oh, that would have been great. This match was nothing. It was boring as fuck.
Yeah, it was.
Very boring. Lights go out. They come on. It's Harper. And exactly what all of us said.
Yep.
I think everyone said that. It was like, Harper will come in, Wyatt will get the win. At least Wyatt got a win.
Finally.
I mean, all in all, I thought this was a pretty mediocre show. I'd give it a, you know, like a 4 out of 6, a 4 out of 10, excuse me.
4 Tammy Sitch Queefs out of 10.
Yeah. A C minus, you know, D plus kind of show. I mean, a great mismatch. The opening three-way was good. Tag match was fun, I guess, but for the most part, just kind of a nonsense fucking show.
Yeah.
All right. We can go back to fucking SmackDown.
Okay.
That would have been great.
What, just leaving No Mercy hang?
Because that's the shit we do. Yeah. I get all fucked up and then who knows. Back to SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown, there's nothing really going on here. Styles, you know, the Styles and Ellsworth shit. In the moment, I enjoyed it. After the fact, I started really thinking about a lot of it, and I was like, eh. One thing I didn't like was Ambrose is back to the Wile E. Coyote, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got to empty my pockets, and one of the things was a flask. I was surprised by that. But it's like now he's a zany character. Now he's going to go sign autographs mid-match, and he's going to talk on his cell phone. And what happened? What happened, dude? They got away from that, and like he was almost cool again, dude. He was almost cool again. And now we're back to this shit for five-year-olds.
Yep.
Everyone's got to be funny. Even Kevin Owens, you know? He goes from being a fucking badass, kicked the shit out of you, and now he's just... I'm funny. I say funny stuff. I insult people in a funny way. Everyone's got to be funny, dude. I don't get it. Ellsworth gets a pin over AJ Styles. And they do kind of say something backstage about Ellsworth being on SmackDown next week. So expect that again. One thing in this, dude. He fucking... Everybody knows. If you watch wrestling to any extent... You know how to take a Styles clash, right?
Yep.
You look up, dude.
you don't fucking tuck your chin. And Ellsworth tucks his chin, and lucky for him, Styles saw. I don't know, how does Styles know he tucked his chin?
Oh, he can see feel it. I'm sure he can feel it. Yep.
And saved this guy's fucking neck and his career and probably his fucking life by not dropping down flat on him. So that's a lot of things. You know, we always talk about Styles being like, oh, that he's fucking awesome. He's this great wrestler. It's not just because he does, you know, flips and shit. It's because of stuff like this. Smart enough to see that he has to alter this to fucking save this guy because he took the fucking move wrong. Ask Yoshi Tatsu how that shit works out when you take that fucker wrong. You fucking break your shit. You break your neck to all fuck. So I thought that was an awesome move by AJ. Show us that guy's fucking good. You think like a guy like Orton or something would be smart enough to know you're taking something wrong and change it up to save you? Good fucking luck, dude.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good fucking luck. You know, they had Wyatt and Harper versus Kane and Orton, dude. That was your main event. Yeah. Lights go out. They come back on. Kane is gone and Harper's in Orton's corner. Wyatt gives Orton a terrible Abigail. Sister Abigail.
God, the dude, worst. Orton takes, the
like shit.
Worst.
The one on No Mercy was terrible, too.
Oh, fuck.
It's just how Orton takes that move. Just lazy. Shitty. But whatever. I mean, you know, it was the better show. But it seems like they're continuing. You know, Orton Wyatt's continuing. Miz Ziggler is continuing. Styles and Ambrose is going to continue while Cena's gone. Just stay in the course, man.
Stale already.
Yeah. Yes, sir, it is. So there you go. That's that. NXT was pretty cool this week, I thought. Show opens, Bobby Roode. On a rotating platform, it was glorious.
Of course it was. It's Bobby Roode, man. What do you expect?
With Ty Dillinger, the glorious tens. The lights go out. We have the debut of Sanity. What did you think of this?
Nothing. I thought nothing.
You thought nothing?
I thought nothing. Okay. I actually didn't catch NXT this week.
Okay, well, I should have asked you before I pitched it to you. I'll tell you about it. Okay. Sanity, dude. We've seen the things, you know, for how long now? The vignettes of, like, I don't know, just a riot-looking area with police sirens and shit. These guys come out to this very weird song, almost like a fucking Primus on acid sort of song.
You mean Primus wasn't on acid before?
Well, it's like a really dark and kind of more noisy Primus sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
They come out and it's four people. They've got like masks like over their fucking faces, like kind of like bandanas. They look like fucking something kind of out of Mad Max, really.
Okay.
They all look like raiders from Mad Max, and there's like two bigger ones, two smaller. Well, one smaller and then one really small. Obviously a woman. And I just don't know, man. So the two come out to wrestle. They take their masks off. And it's Fulton, dude. It's Sawyer Fulton. And it's that fucking wolf guy. And it sucked for that. I just didn't like that, man, at all. The fact that it was just two guys repackaged. It was Alexander Wolf and Sawyer Fulton. And I don't know if you're familiar offhand by name. If you saw them, you'd know who they were. Sawyer Fulton's been jobbing around down there, big tall guy. Mm-hmm. They gave him like a zany haircut.
Yep.
You know, same with Alexander Wolf. And the woman is Nikki Storm. After the match, they win because Bobby Roode just like, fuck these guys, I'm leaving. Ty Dillinger gets pinned. And the rest of them get in the ring. The chick attacks, you know, fucks him up and then takes her mask off. And then the other one is Eric Young. So I thought it could have been okay. Eric Young, the chick, and two new guys would have been something. Just to me, the fact that it was Fulton and Wolf killed it for me. Just killed it. Because you took two guys that you built as jobbers and you gave them zany haircuts and now they're sanity. I don't know. Didn't do anything for me. I like the idea of, a factions always. Three guys and a chick, I like that too. Eric Young's kind of the leader. You know, I mean, it's okay. We'll see where it goes. It was the debut, so let's not write it off too soon, I guess. But you had a promo in the back, coupled with the Aussie broads, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce. It's funny, they're talking about how Liv Morgan, you know, like how she looks, and the one's like, ew. And how she talks, and the ew. Look at how these fucking kangaroo eaters sound, dude. Unbelievable. With their accents, they're talking about people sounding ew. Get out of here. Kangaroo eaters? No. Koala fuckers?
I like kangaroo eaters. Actually, kangaroo is supposed to be really good meat.
I've had kangaroo.
Have you?
Yeah.
I want to try kangaroo.
Platypus diddlers?
Okay. Platypus. I like platypus diddlers. I like that one.
Those are all for Josh. Shout out to Josh. He's in Australia. He listens to our show. I beat the shit out of him on Words with Friends all the time.
Nice.
Shout out to you, sir. But Billy Kay gets the win for help with from Peyton Royce. It's awful. TM61 versus Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. As I said before, fuck those football failure cunts.
Yeah.
TM61 wins. They need to fire both those guys. Fire Riddick Moss for injuring a Tommy. And fire fucking Tino Sabatelli just on premise. Buddy Murphy versus Wesley Blake, dude. Ass versus fuck in the battle of the ass weapons.
I bet this Murphy. One... Did this one end in a mess? Did they have to clean the ring after this?
Lube, shit, and blood everywhere. So much lube. Murphy could be something, but Blake is fucking a lost cause. Honestly, that's how I look at this fucking situation. Luckily, Joe comes in and saves us. Joe comes in to fuck the ass-fuck twins' asses. He wants Nakamura the championship. Nakamura's music hits. He comes out with a neck brace, takes it off, and they get into like an all-out brawl. Security's trying to keep them apart. Nakamura's fucking up security. He gives a security guy a Kinshasa. And then Joe eventually takes off. So still building up Joe and Nakamura for takeover in Toronto. To me, again, another just like Finn Balor, just going too long. Mm-hmm. This should be over, dude. This should be over. Be done with it. Joe failed. He lost it. And he had a rematch already, didn't he? Or no, he just lost it to him.
Yeah, he just lost it.
I don't care. He shouldn't even have a rematch.
Just get him up on the main card.
Yeah. It's the same thing that happened with Balor, man. Right? Like, Balor and Joe, that last time, nobody even cared. I didn't care. I was done with it. I didn't want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
You know? But whatever. So, NXT. Lucha Underground this week. Pretty fucking awesome show. More match heavy, less story kind of going on, but really good show. Rey discovers Dragon Azteca, does a fucking great, Oscar scene, looks to the sky, Chavo! Pretty good shit. Only thing it needed to be was raining. That would have made it even better. Show opens, get a super fun match, Famous B and Dr. Wagner Jr. with Brenda. Versus Son of Havoc and Masquerita Sagrada. As kind of mentioned earlier, they come out on a motorcycle and sidecar. Fucking awesome, dude.
Awesome.
Masquerita Sagrada in the little sidecar. Like, fucking rock. I love that those two are like buddies now, you know? Like, last week they were eating fucking bagel bites. And this week they're like riding around on a motorcycle and sidecar. Fucking dope. Famous B, you know, rocking the total coward spots. Dr. Wagner puts down Sagrada, and Famous B comes in and puts the stethoscope on him for the pin. I'm like, that was pretty badass.
Awesome.
Stethoscope puts pin. We had Sexy Star and Jack Evans for the Gift of the Gods championship. Evans on the mic just destroying it, man. He was the Dragon Slayer. Now he is the Star Destroyer. The heel work in this, and it was funny because a lot of people even mentioned it in our group on Facebook and just kind of around how fucking good Jack Evans is as a heel. Mm-hmm. He's so good. One of the listeners, Brad, shout out Brad. He mentioned like how cool it'd be to see these guys on a tag team, Owens and Evans on a team. Oh my God. Just the like two heels just rip. So good. He eventually gets like on her back, almost in like a camel clutch position. And he's like moving her mouth while like butchering the Spanish language, dude. It's so amazing. And he's doing like a high pitched voice too. Bah, 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 you know, fucking hilarious. PJ Black and Mundo show up. Black gets up on the corner, plays a solo on a fucking, on a kendo stick. Amazing. Of course, the solo comes through, you know, Wild Stallion style. Fucking great. You know, Sexy ends up kicking out. Aerostar and Phoenix show up to even the odds. Sexy Star retains. So they're still setting up, you know, with the Worldwide Underground for the Trios Champions, for the Trios Championship in, like, that four-way setup. So good shit there. And your main event was supposed to be Dragon Azteca Jr. and Pentagon Dark. But as said, Azteca's hurt. He goes to the hospital. You get Pentagon Dark versus Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero. So you have a three-way. Another three-way. But this one was actually good. Lots of great three-way work in here. You know, they don't do the shit where one guy goes out of the ring and two guys wrestle like WWE does. A lot of like really great three-way spots in there, so that was definitely good. Pentagon Dark gets the win. Chavo beats down Rey with a chair afterward, like viciously. The ref cut is getting in the way. Chavo takes out the ref. He fucks everybody up. And so next week you have Puma and Mil Muertes fucking meeting up on the show. It's also going to build to another, probably a Rey and Chavo, which I'm fine with. I still think like a lot of people shit on Chavo. I like Chavo.
I don't mind Chavo. I like him as a heel.
I love the super fucking heel Guerrero. Like, to me, that's what WWE needs. I don't know whose kids in there. I imagine there's tons of them, you know, because Mexico. Oh, that's rude. But, dude, we need a super heel Guerrero of the future. Someone figure this out. Get us a super Guerrero, a super heel Guerrero for the future for WWE. Because if Chavo's done, then what? It's over? I don't want to live in a wrestling world that doesn't have an asshole cutthroat Guerrero heel, so... but this Lucha Underground, fucking awesome, as always.
That's right.
The highlight, my wrestling week. That was pretty much the week in wrestling. I mean, Impact, I don't know what they did. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either.
There was no Hardy stuff that I'm aware of, really, so...
Yeah, nothing's come across the line, so, yeah.
Yeah, usually it's Hardy does something awesome and people post it all over the place, so... that didn't happen this week, so probably not much going on there. And before we get to the Hall of Fame and get the fuck out of here, this is going to be a full episode of the show. Just want to plug some shit. Like I said earlier, new pay-per-view Take Two is up now. New Fully Loaded Wrestling podcast should be coming out at the end of the month. Next week, who knows who we'll be on. You got to follow us on Twitter, at Suplex City Limit, to find out who we're booking. When we book people, we put it on there, so... And, I don't know, shout out as always to all of our fucking brother shows, Federation, Glow Podcast, Wrestling Soup, Sat Pod, what else we got? Rusty on YouTube, Yuck Nasty, Dog a Baby.
There you go. Yep. Okay.
All these cats. Sorry if I'm forgetting anybody. I know I am. Fully Loaded Pro, you know, all that shit, so... Check all of those things out. Check out Fully Loaded Pro on the Fight app. They have a free weekly show there. And YouTube, if that's more your fucking flavor. And it's your week for the Hall of Fame. We didn't even talk about this. I have no idea.
I was kind of stressing here. I'm just making sure he's not already in, which I think we're good. I think we're good here. But I'm going to put Zabisco in. Larry Zabisco.
Larry Zbysko, huh? Yeah, I'm all right with that. I can go with some Zbysko. Huge in AWA, obviously.
Yeah.
Mostly because he was fucking Vern's daughter. But he could have been shit and in that position fucking Vern's daughter, and he wasn't. He was good. Really, I enjoy some Zbysko. Enjoyed, you know, his work on commentary in WCW. Yeah, was always pretty good.
Say, didn't even mind his commentary.
You know, I remember it was pretty good when him and Scott Hall did an angle in WCW. Thought that was pretty sweet.
Yep, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, Larry Zbysko is pretty fucking good. He can't beat that shit, so we'll throw him in. He's going to be the 76th inductee into the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame, the most prestigious Hall of Fame in all of podcasting. You can check out our Hall of Fame under the album section of our Facebook page. You can see everyone who's in there, all 76 members. It's a pretty fucking kick-ass Hall of Fame, if I do say so myself. And I think that's going to fucking do it.
I think that's everything. Damn.
Yeah. Thanks again to Mikey G for coming back by the show. Congratulations to him, you know, like on Raw and everything. Awesome. Yeah. Hashtag free Matt Sydal, or free Sydal, excuse me. Get that shit going. Toss it around, man. Let's help this guy fucking get home. And I think that's going to do it.
Yeah, I think so, man.
We're building too. This is episode 80. We're building towards our 100th show, which will be which we'll celebrate as our anniversary show. We got the Halloween episode coming up. A lot of good fun shit coming up, man.
Yes, sir. Looking like as always. Yes, sir.
Always. So, as always, may you get all of the dick and or pussy you desire. And remember, a winner is you.